Ali C today.
Again, we're getting the flavor of what is happening, of course, in New Hampshire. Thrilled to be here, America Tonight, with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. And actually, I've been to New Hampshire several times when I was a kid. I grew up in Philly, but it's been a very long time for me, and I've forgotten just how wonderful the people are and how brisk the air is in the wintertime, but it feels really good. Ed Lucius is with us, and Ed is, like I said, a local political guy who used to do the radio thing, who worked for Bush One and Governor John Sununu here in New Hampshire. So who better to sit down with, drink a cup of coffee, and just chat? Ed, thanks for stopping by.
Glad to be here, Kate. You know, 4 years ago, we had a blizzard on primary day.
Oh, I know. I remember seeing those pictures. I was like, oh, I'm so good. I'm so glad I didn't opt to go to that one. That would have been terrible. I mean, you know what? You just, New Hampshireites, you're from the Granite State. They're just, hardy's not the word. Persevere.
Well, they persevere, and they take their politics very seriously, and, you know, that's why up until Paul Tsongas beat Bill Clinton up here, and Paul then, the late senator from Lowell, Massachusetts, he was a favorite son, no Republican or Democrat had ever been elected president without winning the primary going back to Eisenhower, and our slogan then was New Hampshire, always first, always right.
I know, I love that. That was great. Too bad that, in a way, too bad that got blown, but it makes sense why.
It did, and again, as we talked before coming on the air, the demographics have changed up here, and the campaign has changed up here. We've not seen the intensity this year that we had back in 08. Of course, it was an open seat in 08, but even the type of events that the candidates are having, they seem to be more structured. The town hall meeting has become the big thing right now for everybody.
Yeah.
And you don't get as much of that personal meet and greet as occurred previous primaries.
Yeah, speaking of personal meet and greet, you and I talked before, and working for Bush, first of all, what did you do for Bush?
I worked in the advance office, advance trips, and had a great time. It was a wonderful experience.
And I know the Bushes, and I found them to be really, no matter what your politics are, I found them to be very charming people.
They really are. They really are. And, I had some great times with both of them. And Barbara Bush, really a sweet, sweet lady.
Yeah. So working on the advance team, I mean, that's what is that, 24 hours a day?
Well, it all depends what's going on and where you're going. But normally we would go out a week or two in advance of where the president was going to be, check the site, do the logistics, and go from there. Never really see an event. You'd always be in front of them. So, but it was a good experience, and I had a good time, but it was nice to come back to New Hampshire. And I went back in radio. I was in radio before I left for Sununu, and then I went back, and I said if I went back, I was going to be in a management position, and I ended up local station being president and GM until they sold it. And then now I do community policing for the National Police Department. Have a PR job there and emergency management, which is my other forte.
Yeah, emergency management. Boy, we could talk a lot about that and about the responses and what's happening. How big are the 911 calls? We play them all the time on the shows from all over the country. How critical is that response?
No question. It's very important. So.
You know, speaking of response, you also mentioned what Bush did so well and how New Hampshire is such a political place and people know their politics that you really have to still, now it's more set up, like you said, the town hall meetings, it's a little bit different, the flavor, as I said, of it. But it wasn't back in Bush 1. What did they do that was so clever?
Well, it was the See Me, Feel Me, Touch Me campaign. And the old story of the man up north that was asked if he was going to support Reagan, so don't know, I've only met him four times. And our goal was that anybody wanted a picture with George and or Barbara Bush, they were going to get it. And New Year's Eve, we had them at First Night in Concord, New Hampshire, put them in a storefront, put in a couch and a fireplace and a Christmas tree, and the Vice President and Mrs. Bush stood there. We encouraged people to bring their cameras. After they came through the magnetometer, some of the Bush kids were there giving them a cup of hot chocolate with the Vice President's seal on it saying, First Night with George and Barbara Bush. And when he came downstairs, staff was there, and you know the grip and grin, take the shot, and move people. We took over 5,000 photos that night, and then we moved him over to the State House, and he did the media row for television, on the 11 o'clock news, New Year's Eve, and then they watched the fireworks, and he was gone.
You were really priming him for those White House photo ops, you know.
That's right. And I mean, that is a very important thing. And I mean, you know, a lot of people, a friend of mine who's a banker in Nashua, he started a thing probably 3 or 4 primaries ago. He gets all the candidates autographed baseball. And yesterday I was with him at the Romney breakfast, and he got Mitt to sign his baseball, and that was the last signature he needed. So he's got every candidate that's run here in New Hampshire, or has come to New Hampshire, because some of them aren't running, to autograph his baseball, and that's his little collection that he's got going.
Oh, you gotta love that.
You do.
In New Hampshire, do you find that, because I was just talking to somebody about this, that demographically, Republicans, you know, Democrats, are we finding that there's a lot of independents?
A lot of independents here in New Hampshire, and that was evident as we saw in the early voting up in the Balsams.
Uh-huh.
You had 3 registered Republicans, 2 registered Democrats, the rest are all independents. Well, Santorum, Ira the Huntsman, and Romney got 2, and President Obama got 3. One independent or undeclared went and voted Democrat. So,
yeah.
And you do. People are very independent here in New Hampshire. Live free or die means a lot.
I like that. I love that slogan. Besides, obviously you worked in the national scene by doing the advance gig for Bush, and then you worked for Sununu, so you know what that was like from that perspective. Do you think that this race is wide open? Or because you have an incumbent, and we've had 2 past presidents, Democrat and, of course, Republican, who have won back-to-back terms. Are we going to see a third, despite all the hoopla and all of what's going on in the GOP side of things?
I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know what to read into the announcement by Daley yesterday that he's stepping down as chief of staff. I mean, very critical time in not only the administration but the campaign.
Oh yeah.
Now, how do you read that? What is that telling us in light of the book that just came out about the Obamas that suggested that Michelle was not happy with the with some of the staff decisions or lack thereof, and now you have Daley announcing his resignation at the end of the month, and you know, that's kind of an interesting perspective. And I think the other thing is, you know, when I heard President Obama announce that he was going to run, I said to people he was going to beat Hillary Clinton, and they thought I was crazy. But I said, no, he's a fresh, new, young face, young family. And, I mean, the picture is worth 1,000 words, and that was it. And I think what happened is he just got caught up in it. And I don't have a problem personally with what they did with gay marriage, but I don't think that should have been the first major piece of legislation to come out. It should have been the economy, then health care, and take care of that later. But, you know, he got pushed into it, and he should have done those other things when he had control of the House and the Senate. And now it's, you know, it's just a finger-pointing game, and nobody wins.
Right, when you see that going on. But I think you're right, there's some telltale signs. That's why I asked that, because you'll see, I've talked to all different kinds of people, and there are a lot of Democrats who really are nervous and don't think it's a layup that
That's
he's
right.
going to get it, that
That's
you
right.
just never
and,
know.
And you know, it will be interesting. I mean, we heard rumblings early on up here of a draft Hillary movement, but, you know, she's made it clear that, you know,
he's not doing
she
it.
Wants no part of it. And the other thing will be, if any other of the appointees leave before the election, that could be another telltale sign as to what is going on.
Yeah, no kidding. Ed Lucius, it's a pleasure to have you on. I got to have you on this show again. Will you come back with us?
Sure, I'll be happy to.
Awesome. Thank you
Thank
so
you
much.
Thank you for having me.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis.
but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation.
Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Again, 1-888-246-0623.
The journey starts beneath the stars. I stand alone. I put all my fears to all these years swept away the known. No, I run this town to be near you. No.
Lo and behold, you never knew you were going to meet on Radio Row. The former governor of Louisiana, Buddy Romer, is with us, and we've talked to Buddy before. He's a good friend of America Tonight, and I like Buddy because he hits my hot button, and my hot button is how the small businessman in small businesswoman or small businessman is getting squeezed in America. How can we produce? We need more made in America when all these jobs are going overseas. And the tax rate is crazy. It's astronomical, in my opinion.
And
don't
the regulations.
Think? Oh, that's it. The regulations.
I mean, 81,114 pages. I love that number. 81,114 pages, put it down, of new pages in the Federal Registry last year alone.
Who's
I mean,
reading
Obama
that?
Is the regulation czar. He's the king. He's the man. There's the change. I've been looking for it. You know, the average number of pages per year is about 20,000. 81,114. And no small business has their own lawyer, has their own lobbyist, has their own compliance officer. It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Washington is divorced from reality. You know what counts in Washington? It's not small business people. What counts is a person with a big check. What counts is a lobbyist. Have you ever tried to read the tax code?
Oh, never.
It's an embarrassment.
It's crazy.
I love to live in a country where General Electric can make $5.4 billion and pay no taxes. And a janitor at a public high school in Attleboro, Massachusetts, can make $31,000 and pay $8,000 in taxes. Is this a great country?
Yeah,
it's a joke. And Washington doesn't get it. They won't get it. Look at these people running for president.
Right.
They're decent people.
Right.
I mean, they're decent. They're
right.
not corrupt.
Right.
It's the system that's corrupt. It's embarrassing to listen to Mitt Romney and John Huntsman talk about their super PACs. It's embarrassing.
And anybody can write the check, $1 million, you get enough
it's
of that money.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
And it's dysfunctional. Our country's headed in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
And I love America. But someone needs to stand up and say, we can do better. We can deregulate small business. We can have energy independence by drilling environmentally sound natural gas and stop our addiction to foreign oil. We can have fair trade with China, but we've got to stand up to them. We can close our borders and have immigration reform,
yeah.
but we've got to take action. Nothing's happening now. It's gridlock. It's money. It's a disaster.
Yeah. What's it going to take to crack that open, buddy? I mean, these, you know, this is what everybody's shouting about in America, but nobody's paying attention, like you said, in Washington.
It's going to take somebody who'll say no.
Yeah.
Who is that going to be?
Nobody now.
Look, I've been out of politics for 16 years.
Yeah.
I've been happy. Trust me. I've been so happy not worrying about a primary election.
Yeah.
Believe me.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been building a $1 billion bank, no bailout. We didn't foreclose on a single mortgage holder. We didn't shut down a single. It was good business
right.
for us to restructure the debt.
Right, right.
Here's the answer to your question. Your question is, what's it going to take?
Yeah, what's it going to take?
One person standing up. I've done that. Now you need to stand up. And your audience needs to stand up. And let's find a president. It doesn't have to be me. I've just made this an issue. I'm desperately looking for somebody who wants to go to Washington full time. Hell, I don't. You know that.
Right, right, right.
I think I'll bring a broom and spend 4 years getting it clean. We need leadership. And somewhere, somehow, someplace in America, we're going to find a woman or a man who will say, take me, buddy. I'm looking for a vice president. I'm looking for somebody right now who would stand with me on reform and against corruption.
Yeah.
It could be an Erskine Bowles in North Carolina, a conservative Democrat.
Sure.
I'm a conservative Republican. We'd make a hell of a ticket. I'm looking for a game changer. That's what I'm doing.
But they wouldn't let you in the game. Tell everybody it's worth recapping this. How come you couldn't get in the game when you should have been in the game?
The game is now debates. Okay? There have been 18 nationally televised debates.
Yeah.
I've been in none. I've been invited to none. I've requested to be included in all 18. And the story keeps changing. At first it was you need to be an officially declared candidate. Well, that's fair. So I officially declared in late July in New Hampshire. I called them up and said, I'm ready. And they said, no, we forgot to tell you, Governor, you need 1% in a national poll. Well, that sounds logical. You know, some state. But how do you get 1% if you're not on the debate?
You can't.
I got 1% without being on the debate.
Ooh.
I called them again. And they said, we've changed it, buddy. We've had to. They didn't tell me why. It's 2%. I worked 5 weeks. I got 2%. I called them. They said, we've changed it. You have to raise $500,000 in the last 90 days. I have raised $250,000, average gift $50 a person, clean, free. Massachusetts is my fifth best state.
Wow.
Go figure that.
Yeah.
California is my second. Florida's my third. Texas my fourth. Louisiana's my first. Of course, that's where I'm known.
Sure.
But from every state in America, we've raised small contributions,
yeah.
thousands
yeah.
and thousands of dollars. And yet that doesn't qualify me as the only candidate who's a congressman and a governor,
right.
in my experience.
Yeah.
The only candidate who has that experience, and I can't get on the debate. I mean, I would talk about China. I would revoke their permanent, normal Free Trade Act.
Right.
I would revoke it.
I agree.
I would ask the Department of Treasury, under my leadership, to invoke currency manipulation laws. I mean, I'm serious.
I mean, how many times have we done that, printed up the monopoly money, quantitative easing?
We are a joke. We are out of control. We borrow 43 cents out of every dollar we spend.
Man.
We give subsidies to Exxon. We give subsidies to GE. We give subsidies to Goldman Sachs. Why do we do that? You know why? They buy the politicians.
Right.
Don't forget it.
Where the money comes from.
They're bought. You know, I'm the only congressman I know that doesn't take his retirement. I didn't take my health benefits. I don't take my retirement as governor.
Oh, and that's a lot of money you're leaving. Yeah.
I'm a citizen. Yeah. I'm proud of America. I'm a diabetic, and I couldn't serve in the Marine Corps. I'm serving now. This is what I do, and I'm damn proud of it.
Buddy, so you see how you're logjam and stuck in this, and you have a definite passionate message that resonates with people. You're trying to get the word out. Will you jump in, if it's not the presidential end, will you jump into something else, anything else that can push this message out after we go through this process?
Yes, and I'm not sure what. It's a good question. Here's the only assurance I can give you. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to figure out ways to keep this front and center. I mean, if a Republican wins this nomination and comes to me, buddy, I need your help, there's going to be a price to that, and I'll be very public about it. Campaign reform.
Right.
I mean, make it your first bill.
Right.
Mr. Romney or whoever it is.
And we've heard people talk about campaign reform, but that's not really campaign reform, isn't it?
They're a joke.
Yeah.
You need term limits. You need reapportionment that's done by a third party, not by one of the two vested interest parties. And you need to have full disclosure on the money. I would do something. I would do two simple things to begin with. I would have full disclosure and 48-hour reporting. Mm-hmm. So Mitt Romney couldn't hide his donations for 120 days.
Right, it'd be there.
Or John Huntsman couldn't hide his for 180 days. You get money, we'll know it within 48 hours. You can do it in the age of the Internet,
sure.
Can't you?
Yes, absolutely.
We do it all the time.
Absolutely. Do you think people would be shocked if they knew really what was happening with the PACs, a million-dollar check here,
they
there?
They would be shocked.
Yeah. That's what
they
I think.
They would be shocked. They would be stunned.
Mm-hmm.
If people knew what really happened in politics, they would be stunned.
Yeah. The real stuff, the behind it. Even Obama. I mean, who's his biggest backer? Goldman Sachs. They set up the dinners, and he goes and has the dinners.
GE gave him more money 4 years ago than any corporation in America, $4.3 million. It was not fully reported.
Yeah.
Guess who the jobs expert for Obama is? The president of GE. Guess who paid no taxes last year? GE.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, hello?
Yeah. Hello? Something's wrong with that picture.
And I'm not a big party person. I'm a Republican, and I'm proud of it. But I'm a prouder American. And I think we're in trouble. I think we're in serious trouble.
I agree with you, buddy, and I want to be on board with your fight. Consider America tonight as a definite ally in the push to get some reform going, and we'll get those
I'll
listeners.
I'll count on you. Let's raise hell.
Let's raise hell. I agree. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Bye-bye.
How would you like to have normal blood pressure?
This is Ernesto from Illinois. I had my doctor's appointment yesterday, and I got my labs in. My HDL is 119L, and my LDL is 37L. My doctor asked what I was doing to lower it so much, so I told her about HB Extract.
Millions of people, like Ernesto, are suffering from high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, and clogged arteries. But now there's an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation. Heart and Body Extract.
My blood pressure has not gone past 125 over 80 in almost a month.
Experience amazing benefits when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract.
She did a double take when she looked at my ER labs. She couldn't believe it.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Thank you. Heart and Body Extract.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Sure, there are winter specials, and then there are super winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Battle through this cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters like elderberry power, orégasillin, olive leaf capsules, grapefruit seed extract, and Resper 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't forget vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, sale priced at only $9. We also have a super winter special on 6 homeopathic liquid detoxes. Whole body detox, liver detox, kidney detox, lymph detox, brain detox, and lung detox. All liquid detoxes, regularly $26.95, are now just $20. HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on now and save big when you hit the winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Getting more of the local flavor here in New Hampshire, of course. Big doings, we know, First Primary. Excited to be broadcasting here. And I've really enjoyed my time with the people. Very straightforward. Kind of reminds me of the people I grew up with in Philly. We talk a little differently. But again, we're broadcasting in all those nooks and crannies, so we thought we'd bring you the flavor of New Hampshire in this primary. We're here with Bill Boyd. He is the vice chair of the town council in the town of Merrimack. Now, Merrimack has some historical significance. I'm going to put you on the spot, but I know you know the historical significance. Why will people listening in Lexington, Kentucky, and Connecticut, and Texas, all over the country, why will they know Merrimack?
I would say Matthew Thornton.
That's right.
That would be my guess, Matthew Thornton, who is the signer of the Declaration of Independence.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you very much for having me on today. I appreciate it. As a matter of fact, right around the corner from where my wife and I live is Jen and Thomas Thornton. And Thomas Thornton is a direct descendant of Matthew Thornton. He's the great, 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 great grandson, I think, is what it boils down to. So he's a direct descendant. It's pretty cool.
Wow, how cool is that? Rick Santorum is your guy.
Absolutely.
And so, first of all, tell me why do you throw your weight? Why do you throw your support toward Rick Santorum? What is it about Santorum that touched you?
There's a historical component to that, Kate. I'm a graduate of Boston College, and back in 1991, my senior year, when the senator first ran for the House in the Monongahela Valley of just outside of Pittsburgh.
Right.
I used to go in and follow his campaign by reading the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And that's how I got introduced to Rick, where he stood. I'm Catholic. I come from a blue collar. I grew up outside of Boston in Medford. I come from what I would call an urban blue collar Catholic family. And that's where Rick came from. And I just think, for me, my father's always said you need to appreciate the fact that we have two nickels to scrape together, and there's a lot of people in this country that don't have two nickels to scrape together. And Rick Santorum comes from that same type of background, that same type of belief, that same type of value structure. And I've just, you know, from that point forward, I've always been a big fan of his, you know, Gang of Seven. You know, re-election when he got, when he, his district got gerrymandered, and they put another incumbent again, and he said, bring it on, and he beat another incumbent.
Yeah.
You know, Harris Wolford in his first election for the United States Senate. I mean, this is a guy, this is an individual that has always fought the fight, an uphill fight in every single election that he's won. And he's won four of them. He's won four of them in a very, what I would call, you know, union-based, blue-collar, democratic state of Pennsylvania. He's done it with tremendous success. And I am just attracted to him based on his personal background and the fact that he has tremendous leadership qualities that obviously he was able to appeal to not just Republicans but also independents and Democrats in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it's interesting you say the independents. I was just reading something right before you sat down that 40% of Americans consider themselves, Bill, to be political independents this year. That's according to the latest Gallup numbers. That, if you roll that back, that compares to 31% who called themselves Democrats and 27% who are Republicans. So we knew this, but that independent vote is so huge.
It's huge. And anecdotally, just having lived up here, having grown up in Massachusetts, that's why Scott Brown got elected in 2010, was the independent vote. If you want to talk about that election, we could talk about that another time. But I'm just saying the independents carry a lot of weight. Not just in Massachusetts, but definitely up here in New Hampshire, which is why if you look at some of the polls, ARP, Rasmussen, Suffolk, you know, they're all showing, you know, Romney's numbers coming down. You know, Governor Hutchinson's just getting a very small bump, just a really small bump. But the undecideds has increased. The undecideds is up to about 25% right now.
Wow.
I'm sorry, that's a huge number. And when you look, and I don't subscribe to polls because polls don't vote. Okay, let's be honest, polls don't vote.
Right.
But when you look at, you know, Romney, who was comfortably in the 40s for a year.
Right.
Now he's at, you know, if you subscribe to Rasmussen, which I give a little bit more credence than
sure.
the other ones.
Sure.
You know, they had Romney at 38%.
They did.
Okay, so either that ceiling was a cap and it was a soft ceiling and now it's beginning to crumble under. I mean, there are people that are saying that were enthralled with Romney that are making a decision, you know what, I got to go back in and take a second look at this. And I think a lot of it has to do with Senator Rick Santorum, his performance in Iowa, the fact that he's been in the state over 30 times over the past year. You know, he made a tremendous commitment to come into New Hampshire and meet the voter, you know, press the flesh, look people in the eye, and directly answer the questions that they've offered up. He's been unwavering in that aspect. And quite honestly, the New Hampshire voter appreciates that. It's somebody that's willing to answer their questions directly. They may not like the answer.
Right.
But it's about getting the answer. And that's what's, quite honestly, I think people are taking a second look because it's refreshing.
And once the primary's over, the work's not done anyway, because as you know, I mean, then it's still more about what happens in all the other primaries and how it all boils down. And then, no matter who it is, let's ask this question.
Okay.
If it's not Rick Santorum, I mean, because I know you wanted to be Rick Santorum, but let's say it's not Rick Santorum, do you go with whoever it is versus Obama?
No. For me personally,
you go with Obama.
I wouldn't vote. I would go in. I'd pull a ballot and I'd throw it in.
Really?
That's just for me personally.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Because you feel that passionate about Rick Santorum.
No, there's one candidate that I will not vote. There's one candidate that I will not vote for. All the other Republicans, I think, are very qualified.
Romney.
I'm not going to mention any names. I'm not going to mention any names.
All right.
But I think if you pay attention to what's been talked about in the debates, it should become perfectly clear.
Yeah. Do you, you know, it's interesting. It's, in getting all this, the Washington insiders and people that I talk
right.
to, a lot of people think it's, you know, this is really up for grabs, though. I mean, this election is up for grabs. It's not that, hey, Obama's the incumbent, and this is, you know, look, we've had two past presidents where they got two terms. And I wasn't so sure about that, just from an outsider's perspective, just
right.
looking at it, not putting any feelings into it.
Okay.
But now I believe that. Now I think that there, do you, and you mentioned this about being from the blue-collar background, and even though the job numbers have switched, I don't think the job numbers really tell the story because there's people that are so underemployed in this country.
The number that, especially in New Hampshire, okay, I think, what you have, I mean, people talk about that the unemployment rate might come down to about 8.9, 8.8. It's not factoring in the people that have exhausted their unemployment benefits. It's not factoring the person who's 55, who is employed, who makes a tactical decision that they're not going to collect because, you know what, I'm 55, I'm going to semi-retire, I'm going to open up a mom-and-pop business. I mean, you have those job numbers that don't reflect those types of changes to somebody's, you know, someone's employment status.
Right.
And because, let's be honest, there's really no fair way of calculating and being able to keep track of that. So I think when you look at it, to me, you know, people always used to lament that, you know, the unemployment rate would be around 4 or 5%. Well, I can't understand how people we have 4 or 5% when the economy is purring along and like, duh, retirement. You know, if somebody's retired, technically they're unemployed. That's factored into that equation.
Right.
You're always going to have a certain percentage of people unemployed in this country. It comes down to what's the tangible number that you can keep track vis-a-vis the intangible number that you can't keep track of. And what you see right now is I would argue that 9% number is definitely up in the double digits because people are either they've made the decision to retire, that they're not going to go back in the workforce, or they're going to be self-employed or be an entrepreneur and try and come up with an alternative means to generate some income.
Yeah, I agree with you. I say that all the time, that those numbers are not accurate, that it's definitely double-digit. Absolutely.
Right.
And, you know, and in talking about Santorum, to me, in the conversations that I've had, it seems to be that he's very small business entrepreneur. We got to reach out. This is this country. 90% of the businesses are small businesses. What do you think do you think I'm on target with that I was right, that he offers that? That's part of his message.
There's two things there's probably two points. You got small business and his Made in the USA plan to invigorate manufacturing in the company.
Yeah.
I think you need to look at, you know, he wants to eliminate energy and agricultural subsidies within 4 years. He wants to do away with a lot of the onerous regulations that have permeated small business now under the Obama administration for the last 3 years. This is a gentleman that wants to cut, you know, $5 trillion in 5 years. And contrary to Congressman Paul, who says he's going to cut five departments and $1 trillion immediately when he walks into office, well, you know, he's never passed a piece of legislation. He's only passed one piece of legislation in his 20 years serving in the House. You know, Senator Santorum has worked across the aisle. The Iran Accountability Act, the Syria Accountability Act, welfare reform, banking reform in the House, the Gang of Seven,
yeah.
You know, the way that they do those sorts of things. He was against the Wall Street bailout. So I think when you look at the things that he's done in the past, it's going to be indicative of what he's going to do when he walks into the Oval Office as it relates to, you know, making government less intrusive and putting more money back in the hands of investors. You know. Because that's what it's going to take. I mean, if you look at his Made in America plan, the corporate rate right now is at 35%. He wants to slash it for all the corporations down to 17.5, except for manufacturing, cut that down to zero. And what that does is that, you know, that income is going to be created. It's going to be more, you know, more infrastructure, physical plant, hiring people, more, you know, more product being produced.
Right.
And the ancillary effect is they're going to build. Workers are going to come to work. They got to go eat somewhere. That means the mom and pop store down the street with the local dinette. They're going to start feeding some of these workers. So there's an ancillary effect that occurs as a result of lowering that corporate rate. So because of his background, because of growing up in a working class family, he understands the value of a dollar. He understands what it means when people are working, people not working. And to me, there's no bigger champion for the working class than Senator Santorum.
Yeah, and somehow I think people that have listened to Rick get that, but somehow that hasn't permeated with some of the others out there.
And one of the other things, you know, repealing Obamacare. I mean, I keep forgetting. I mean, that's the biggest thing is repealing Obamacare.
Yeah, yeah.
If you know the fact that now you're obligating people to provide, you know, health insurance, you know, that's forcing a mom and pop business to make a decision as to whether they can stay open because, you know, healthcare because
huge
premiums are huge. Mm-hmm. Insurance companies, they have to, you know, having a healthcare background, you know, insurance companies have to do their underwriting and have to be able to provide the best possible premium to, you know, mitigate risk versus, you know,
right.
People, you know, people that participate in our wealth. So,
right.
You know, that's really the huge factor. It's that issue. It's the underwriting piece, which a lot of people don't seem to and it's complicated.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, it's a complicated piece.
Right, right.
But that's what drives premium is the actual, you know, ratios of premium to benefits and risk,
right.
Risk rewards.
So. Right, and somehow that's lost in the sauce. Bill,
absolutely.
Thanks so much. We're out of time. We appreciate it.
Kate, thanks for letting me talk to you. Listeners.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. Utopiasilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now UtopiaSilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details on your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Long-range patrol ration entrees. If you know survival, you know LRPs are the undisputed king of military rations. Hands down, the best for your bug-out bag or survival pack. To go farther, faster, and carry more food, there's nothing better than a brick pack LRP cold weather ration entree. Nothing. Now, the Freeze Dry Guy is offering a limited-time deal on thousands of fresh LRP entrees. We're talking a menu of tasty and nutritious beef stew, chicken and rice, chili mac with beef, spaghetti and meat sauce with 20 entrees per case. These fresh 2011 LRPs are U.S. government contract overruns, perfect for long-term storage. But they're going fast at freezedryguy.com. Far superior to MREs, long-range patrol entrees are about a third the weight of an MRE, with about a third more meat than the finest commercial freeze-dried entrees. Ask about multi-case discounts and free shipping when you call 866-404-3663 today. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. Your source for survival food in an uncertain world.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Coast to coast and all those nooks and crannies in between that we always talk about, those flyover states. I went to school in Ohio, so I have this allegiance to Ohio University and the people of Ohio, like I said, even though I've lived all over the place, including the Northeast. So it's good to be back in the Northeast and be in New Hampshire for the very first primary. America Tonight is thrilled to be broadcasting from Radio Row. There's a lot of buzz and excitement in the air. And Jeffrey Frost, he is the Manchester GOP chair. We have cornered him because everybody is seeking him out. So luckily we had a chance to snag Jeffrey. Hey, Jeff, thanks so much for popping on America Tonight.
Thank you. Welcome the invite. I kind of thought this was going to happen. So Rich got me over here. He's a local station, does mostly Manchester coverage, but he does cover a good half of the state at Gerard at large. But this show, I'm very happy to be here.
So, you know, it's interesting. Before we jumped on the air together, you mentioned to me, because our mothership is in Minneapolis, and you heard me say, oh, I've moved all over the place, which is why I love America. I love this country because I feel blessed to have seen so much of it. And of course, we also have our little satellite facility in Dallas, and you've been in Dallas. You mentioned that you were a pilot.
Yeah, I was a pilot with American Airlines. And of course, obviously, that's their corporate headquarters.
Yeah.
And spent a lot of time training there. Flying through there, obviously.
And I wanted to ask you this question, because I have a lot of pilots on my show, and you see what's happened in the airline industry. Did you miss some of the fireworks of, you know, chopping everybody's pay and all that stuff?
No.
I know you were in the tail end.
I'm retired. I retired early thinking that American Airlines was going to go through what it was back in 2005. It was very close. And The airline business is a tough business because it's a very low margin, a lot of competitors. The government does kind of facilitate young and new competitors to compete against the legacy airlines. American had been the only airline, major legacy airline, to have not gone through bankruptcy. So this is a planned bankruptcy. They're going to try to reorganize, and they'll do fine. They'll be fine.
You know, as a pilot, though, that has to be... My husband was a pilot. He went through all the schooling and everything, and he said, you know, when he came out after all of that, to start off, he would have had to make, like, less than $20,000, not even a livable wage. And, you know, we see these problems where pilots are working other jobs and stuff. That's a shame.
Yes. I was part of the group that had an A-scale, B-scale. I was on B-scale. So you had the same person doing the same job, making a lot more money. And that was a bone of contention for us. And here in the state of New Hampshire, we have this right-to-work law that's, that we're trying to get passed. And the unions are fighting it tooth and nail. Now, Texas, as you know, is a right-to-work state.
Yeah.
And we at American Airlines are probably one of the largest unions in that state. And right to work did not inhibit us in any way, shape, or form. But what it did say to us guys that were on A-scale, B-scale is, hey, you guys aren't representing us well. And we finally got it back to where we were all parity and pay. But not only that, when the time came in 2003 when we had to make a decision, either lose people and put them on the street or take a pay cut, everybody, the pilots, the flight attendants, everybody took, I took a 35% pay cut. It took me many years. I just picked up captain, and I was so happy to finally pick up captain. 20 years of, you know, training in the military, and then now with American Airlines, you know, in my career. And within a year now, that pay that I've been working so hard for and was cut by 35%. But my attitude was, you save the jobs, it's far more important. I thought that was the you know, and we knew that.
Right.
Because so many guys are getting furloughed, and that's the, you know, what they call it when you lose your job.
Sure.
It's a nice way to say you're being fired, and we'll call you back if we're lucky. But, and it's very tough for somebody that's, it's like saying to a doctor, you can't do your job anymore. What else is he going to do? It's a lot of intensive training. You can't go to another airline because they have the seniority system. So, to me, it was more important to keep the jobs, and that's the way we felt as the B scale was coming up and finally getting some, you know, say in the union.
Yeah. So you seg from that, and of course now, as I mentioned, you're the chair, the GOP chair in New Hampshire. You know, on the ground, what nationally what's being reported? Oh, there's not that much excitement. It's lackluster. But I don't feel that. I don't feel that at all.
New Hampshire, there's always excitement. My God, I just heard they got in a brawl with Santorum and his kids and stuff with Ron Paul. And somebody says it was Ron Paul people, but I find that hard to believe. But definitely Occupy people. So there's a lot of excitement here. And the thing is, there's been a lot of people, Santorum and Huntsman and Romney, every one of these candidates has spent a lot of time here. New Hampshire is representative of the country. Like, I'll give you Manchester.
Right.
We're the largest city. We have 100,000+ people. We also have English as a second language. Is like 83 English as a second language in our school system. So we represent a huge demographic. So how you do in Manchester, I think, and how you do in New Hampshire, particularly with the independents, is going to tell you whether you're a Reagan big tent Republican or not. Are you electable in the end? And in the end, for us Republicans, it's not where we, you know, who gets elected in the primary, but who's going to beat Obama. And that's very important to us.
Yeah, let me ask you that. What's the feeling, because I'm really trying to take the pulse on this. I've actually talked to a lot of Democrats who feel a little nervous. It's not, they don't think it's necessarily a layup. They won't admit this publicly, but it's not necessarily a layup that it's not necessarily a layup that Obama gets elected. They're starting to feel that way. They're not saying that, but publicly, but off the record to me, insiders, people I know on both sides are saying, yeah, they feel like this might be ripe.
There's an old adage, and well, I think there's going to be two major issues that are going to define the national campaign election and who gets elected. One is the old adage, people vote their pocketbook. And depending on, and I remember telling Mitch Daniels people when he was thinking of getting in and getting out, and he got out, and the week before I said, look, you ought to just keep your foot in the water here in New Hampshire, you know, if you're really thinking about it, because it may be your time. And I said, it's all going to depend on unemployment. Now, this is way back last spring.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
Unemployment came out two days after he decided not to run. It went up, you know, over 9.5% or something like that. And I said, see? And I called him back up. I said, see, this is going to be a big deciding factor. Even though, and I know this, as I'm an economics major, business major, that the economy is, to a certain degree, is not completely predicated on the President of the United States. It's not at all, actually. But it is predicated on how many rules and regulations they stuff down businesses' throat.
Right.
And that's been terrible. 8,000 new pages. You're going to have Buddy Romer on, I see here.
Yeah.
Let him talk to that. He's very versed about what they've passed so far and how it's restricting business. I'm a prime example. Small businessman, real estate, I just got beat up unconstitutionally right now by the banking commissioner and the attorney general's office to the tune where and they're both democratically appointed commissioners and heads of the office, to the tune that I feel that the attitude that a lot of the Democrats have is to penalize businesses because they are a business and because they have money and because it also provides them job security. I heard Jack Walsh from GE talk about that yesterday on CNBC, and he's saying it's ridiculous, and it is. We've got to have a union between, like the Japanese have, between government and businesses.
Right.
When you got a small business like me that's looking at $500,000 fines for doing something that was perfectly legal, that I have to go all the way to the Supreme Court for doing something that everybody knows and every court so far has said it's perfectly legal. And
what was the conflict? That's
it was real simple. I gave a person a owner finance mortgage that he asked for, that he wrote up, and then he complained to the banking department that somehow we fraudulated him by selling him the property too high. It was a second home, you know? And they took it in the middle of, we had a big scandal hill, FRM, and ran with it. And fine, I understand they're in the middle of a big scandal. The attitude at the time was, you know, bankers, every mortgage person, or everybody's
trying
corrupt.
To rip you off.
Right.
Yeah.
But when they came to realize who the person was that did it, he was a former lawyer, has been suspended, reprimanded for fraud and deceit. He was a former mortgage banker. He conned us, you know. And the funny thing was, when they came to understand that they had made a huge mistake, they refused to acknowledge it. Instead, dug in their heels, and now it's by attrition. They don't care. They don't want to be responsible for their mistakes. And that's the scary thing about too big to fail government. And they have an immunity and an attitude and an arrogance that can scare you. You know, if they get on that path and say we're going to be in transit, we're going to be stubborn, and that's very destructive to business. Very tough.
Absolutely, I agree with you. I mean, you're bringing all these points home for me because that's, of course, in our wheelhouse of America Tonight. We are always talk about small businesses and defending the small businesses and cutting the tax rate and all that sort of stuff. And that's the scary thing, the over-regulation.
Sure. I mean, you can have them walk in. Now, Jack Welch was talking about a business that was basically a wholesale business. They normally get inspected once every 2 years. They had 6 inspections in 1 year, and for cost them thousands of dollars. And in the end, they ended up getting a $1,600 fine because they overcharged somebody by 12 cents.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Crazy.
Come on. How are you going to, why? You wonder why we're sending jobs overseas? They're running away. You know?
Exactly. Absolutely. Music to my ears. We'll see if we see any change. Jeffrey, thanks so much. Appreciate it. It was great having you on the show.
Thank you.